In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and say a little prayer to the Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit, come, enlighten us, guide us, strengthen us. Help us to be more like Jesus in all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, there's an invitation in today's gospel to all of us to draw ever closer to the Lord. Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Come away, be with the Lord in a place that's quiet, that you're free of distractions. As when we get to that place, we can hear God's voice speaking much clearer to us. In the lives of so many different saints and lives of people's conversions, there's some point where they stepped away from the world, even if it's for a few moments, and they heard the voice of God. One is this seer. His name is Sagatasha. He's from Rwanda, from Sagatasha Kabeho, which we're close there. And he was connected with the apparitions of Our Lady. It happened from 1981 to 1989, approved by the church. And he had never heard of our Lord Jesus Christ, hadn't even been baptized. And he did some farming. And it was this real poor family. It was like, sort of like a mud thatch hut that they had. Sometimes the cows were in there too, in the house. And he was underneath the tree, he said. And he heard the most beautiful voice, underneath the tree, in silence. And he heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And the Lord identified who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was. And then the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord said, I have a special mission for you. Here and some of the surrounding countries, I'm going to send you. And he said, you're going to go 2 years here, a year and a half here. And he was just totally, totally obedient. And he said, when you see Jesus Christ, the love and the radiance and his majesty commands respect and obedience. And it's something you lovingly want to do, to serve him. But it started through that quiet moment there. He must have said something in the depths of his heart, oh God, through a God. I didn't know anything about the world because he couldn't read, he couldn't write, 14 years of age. Parents never talked about God, but God came and spoke to him. And it's very interesting. So he goes out and he preaches these messages that the Lord wants him to preach. And what I'm going to read here from the Vatican investigation, different records that were taken. He said, when I would go about, I would preach the message of redemption and salvation. And his parents were shocked because he didn't know the Bible. He would start quoting the Bible, like, where are you getting this? It's all coming straight from God. But he said, I would preach the message of redemption and salvation through confession, through repentance and love, to prepare for the end of days. Our Lord kept telling him, tell people to prepare for the end of days. And hundreds of people would cry out to this message, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. But then, he said, when I would specifically mention sins that the Lord told me to tell to the people, depending on the region, the reaction was quite different. But when I delivered the Lord's message about the evil of polygamy, people booed and yelled for me to go back home to Rwanda. That's something we could read the scriptures, we read about the faith and the catechism, we stop and we look at ourselves, okay, taking it for granted we are sinners. Okay, what defects do I have and have the humility to face it? But when someone points it out to us, like Sagatasha, pointing out to these people in different countries, they didn't like it. And he said, all I can tell you, that God's will is not always easy to follow. That's why our Lord says, you have to come to me. If you don't come to me, first you won't hear me, and second, you won't have the strength to do it. But he said, we must follow God's will. Our life on earth is difficult. There's ups, there's downs, but it is fleeting. We will be rewarded in heaven for living the way God wants us to live on earth. He said, I repeated the message of Jesus and Mary that they delivered at Kabeho regarding premarital sex. Just give you an example here. Men and women must respect themselves and treat their bodies as though they are temples of the Lord and not allow their bodies to be treated as a playground of the flesh. They put their souls at risk for fleeting moments of pleasure. When he talks about teenagers and young people think about having fun, he said, they're not thinking about the consequences of their actions or about their immortal souls. There is something that the church elders, the priests, should advise you about. So I read this while mentioning it from the pulpit. Now, there is this weekend actually, is the anniversary of Pope Paul VI's encyclical called Humanae Vitae. So I'm just going to mention this just briefly. But what he did, he talked about that encyclical. He said this is in conjunction with the invention of the pill that a number of people in Portuguese society seem to use to prevent birth, to prevent conception. And he was speaking prophetically. Number 17 of his document in 1968, this encyclical of the Holy Father, he said, what's going to happen if people go down this path? Following the path is not of God, it's not of the Holy Spirit. He said, first will happen, a wide and easy road will be opened up towards conjugal infidelity. In other words, divorce will skyrocket. That's going to go up. 1968, he's saying. And he says, second, there will be a general lowering of morality, wherever this is practiced. General lowering of morality. So we have, unfortunately, that horrific event that happened in Aurora, Colorado just recently, where some people can't distinguish reality and what's real, what's not real, and blatantly killing 70 people, I think it was 70, 71 people were shot. So the Holy Father says there will be a general lowering of morality. I say, amen, Holy Father. The last 40 years we've certainly seen that. And he said, there will be great loss of respect for women. Will they be treated more just as objects, which we can be seen in the pornography industry. The women, for the most part, are treated as objects. So all these different things. God has a beautiful plan. Really a beautiful plan for your life, for my life, for all the people we know. He has a beautiful plan in our life. But to know what that plan is and to follow that plan, we need to come aside for a while to a quiet place. I know many of you, a number of you, I've seen in the Adoration Chapel, the St. Joseph Perpetual Adoration Chapel. It's a powerful place of prayer because it's an act of faith, first to go there. It's an act of love that you're going before the Lord and you're just setting some time aside to let Him speak to you, to let Him work in your soul, to pour yourself out to Him. Now, here's a quick little story I read the other day. It's interesting how the Lord touches people's hearts. Because the reading, the second reading said, many of you are far off, but by the blood of the Lamb you're brought near. I mentioned that a couple times. So all of us at different degrees, some are farther from the Lord, some are closer, but we all need to work to get closer. And this is the story of Father Taras Krajicek. He's a priest up in Canada. He's been ordained 12 years. But he wasn't always leading a godly life. He wasn't always a priest. Before he was a priest, he had quite a wild lifestyle. At the age of 14, he was kicked out of high school. He left the church, left his family, everything. And he said that the worldly things really, really grabbed me. He said, I wanted the excitement of love, excitement that comes from living a life with drugs and parties and everything that's connected to that. And he started going down that path. Then he got hooked up with different bikers, and he was going. He said, I drifted from my roots. I drifted from the faith that my parents had instilled in our hearts, drifting farther and farther away. And it's wonderful. He's on a bus. He's in California on a bus going back to Canada. Because his friend said, look, your life is so out of control, you're going to be dead on the side of a ditch somewhere. And in fact, he'd experienced a moment where he was just going to commit suicide. Because his life is so centered in self and the things of the world, he couldn't see beyond it, so he didn't see a meaning to life. One day he was on this bus and he's looking out the window. There's a moment of silence there. The bus hasn't started. People are getting on. He's looking out. But in a few moments of silence, he said, something happened. He said, like the scales dropped from my eyes. And I was seeing everything in a different light. And what was significant, there was another person on the bus that was living a similar, very similar lifestyle to him, which he didn't know at the point. And the same thing happened to this other person at the exact same moment. And as the bus trip progressed, these two landed up talking about their life and what they're doing and things like that. And then someone brought up God. He said, it was like I was looking in the mirror, each of us. The same thing just happened to us at the beginning of this bus trip. When I was reading the story, I thought, you know what? There's probably someone on that bus praying a rosary, seeing these people who probably looked like they needed prayers, saying, dear Lord, touch them in the silence of their hearts. And he did. And he did. So the Lord then tells him, open up a Bible and read. And he opens up the Bible. He opens up to Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 19, and he reads these words. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said when he read that, he identified with every single one of those sins. Convicted. That's me. But yet he knew at the same time that God loved him so much that he was calling him. He heard the voice of the Lord open and read the Bible and read that. Something happened where he looked out the bus window, the moments of silence, and the scales dropped, and everything changed. It's incredible. Then the Lord spoke to him after this, because he was sort of dilly-dallying. He was coming a little closer to the Lord, but then the Lord said, finally, Harry, and that was his name before religious life, there are two roads before you. You know where your road is going. You know where it leads. Now I'm offering you my road. You must choose. Each day, we have to choose what road are we going to travel. That road or the highway that leads to heaven or the other road. And to be in the proper road and to stay in that road, to stay focused, we have to accept our Lord's invitation. Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.